Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
To join us for When Passion Meets Purpose. I'm your host for tonight, Leslie Bishop Joe, and we are grateful for what the Lord has done in our lives. Not only that, but what he is doing. Not what he's done, but what he is doing, what is yet to be manifested in our lives. Amen, and through our lives. So God bless you. Lord, please let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For, oh, Lord, you are our strength and you are our redeemer. Now, the last time we talked, we had spoken a little bit about that fire, right? You remember when we were talking a bit about last week, adding fuel to the fire. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about that same subject, but digging a little bit deeper, talking about adding fuel to the fire, part two. There's some things that the Lord impressed upon my spirit, and I just want to take a little time to share some of that with you and to stir you, and hopefully we can have a great conversation on tonight. What we're talking about is a subject: has your ministry been blackballed? And we're going to talk about what that means. What are the signs, and what does the Word of God have to say? So we're going to discuss that a little bit tonight. Can that happen? Is that something that, you know, happens to individuals? Or what do we draw from the Word of God? Is it something that can really happen to the people of God? And what are we saying when we talk about being blackballed? I mean, that's a terminology basically that you hear used in circles in the world a lot, But actually, as I was preparing for this evening, I did see several things written about people who felt like they were blackballed in ministry. So I began to just kind of look deeper into that and look into the Word of God. But what it really means for those of you who are not familiar with the terminology when somebody says, well, I was blackballed. In other words, they were shut out. They were ostracized. You know, it's like, okay, don't let them have an opportunity to do anything here. Some might call it in some circles where, you know, you're silenced from doing anything. You're not used, in other words, in your area of ministry, and maybe you do or you don't know why, but it's known as being blackballed, just kind of shut out, kind of like not a real vote, but voted against, in other words, blocking that person from moving forward. I saw something in the media recently about somebody who felt as though they were being blackballed by others in circles who had to do with the movie industry, and they felt that they were being blackballed from getting roles in movies. So it's things like that where, you know, you feel like you're being shut out, you're not being used, and there's some reason behind it. You know, people don't like what you do, don't like what you say, or something about you perhaps that they don't like, and so the word gets out there and you're blackballed. So that's what that means. But today I want to come with something as it pertains to the things of God, because sometimes people do have that type of mentality where they think they've been blackballed, where they think they've been shut out. But have you really, you know, what is it that's at the basis of, you know, that type of thinking that would make you believe that you've been shut out, that you've been blackballed, that someone has put their thumb on what it is that God has given you to do? So we're going to talk about some things and really shed some light on some things as it pertains to our walk in Christ. Sometimes these kind of things come out of differences in belief systems, differences in doctrinal teachings in terms of keeping one or another from moving forward in ministry. But all of that comes back to us having a personal relationship with the Lord and being able to seek Him for ourselves. You know, being able to know what the Lord has called you to do, what He's called me to do. And when we do that, we know what it is that God has called us to do. So if somebody is trying to put their thumb on you, in other words, or to shut you out from what it is that God has called you to do, you can go right to the source. You can go to God, because God is the one who opens doors for us. You know, but He wants us to be very clear about this, because sometimes what's happening is it's not necessarily that we've been blackballed at all, but we have to look at really what's going on. And so those are the things that we're going to be exploring tonight, and I'm hoping that we'll have some to join in on our conversation. But the first thing that I want to say tonight, I want to give a few scriptures, and I want to share out of Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians because it speaks about who we are, you know, in Christ. It talks about our position in Christ. It talks much about our authority in Christ and all that we are and what we can accomplish in and through Him. So Ephesians 2 and 10, if you'll turn to that one, or at least jot it down so you can look at it later, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That's the New King James Version. Now, we're God's workmanship. So the first things first, we have to know who we are before we start thinking about people putting their thumb on us or, you know, putting a stop to our ministry or blackballing us, any of those things. We have to renew our minds and know who we are in Christ. Because, you know, you remember some time back when we used to have this saying, like, stinking thinking? So when we start going down the road of stinking thinking, it can affect everything that we do. So when you begin to think that others are hindering your walk or keeping you from going forward in ministry, it's time to go back to the source. All right? We're created for God's glory. And it says in Ephesians 2 and 10, we are his workmanship. We're created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand, before we even were thought of. He prepared those good works beforehand that we should walk in them. So that's amazing to me. There's some things that are already created for us to just walk in them. There are good works created for us to walk in them. God has prepared them. Sometimes people want to hold you back because of nationality, perhaps, or because of your station in life, or because of your gender. But what does Galatians 3 and 28 say? It says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So first and foremost, we have to know who we are. Because if we don't know who we are, then of course we can be tossed to and fro. You know, people can have us doing all kinds of things or not fulfilling the call of God or the will of God in our lives because of any of those things, because of who we are, our station in life, our gender in life. You know, God is saying, no, there's no more of that. Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, you know, male or female. You have to know who you are in Christ because we're all one in him. So know who you are. Be able to pull at those strongholds, because what happens when we give way to these type of things, when we don't know who we are, it causes us then to be manipulated by or governed by that old nature, you know, where we are feeling those feelings of rejection, disappointment, insecurity, I don't measure up. You know, those are strongholds, you know, that come in our lives. But God has set us free. He's made us free. And so when we talk about being blackballed, we have to think about what God has called us to do, be very clear about that, and know who we are in him. And once we know who we are in him and we know the design that he has for our lives, we soon realize that it's only a matter of time before people can keep this type of hold on you or on me. I want to change your mindset tonight that this is not something that should be named among us in Christendom. We don't think about our ministries being blackballed, but of course, we do know that there are situations that do exist where people talk about they won't allow this one or that one in their pulpit. They don't allow these individuals to speak, only others to speak. But what we have to get back to all the time is the truth of God's word. Now, I'm going to show you some areas in the word of God where individuals try to control the message of God from going forward. But because of the pure heart of the vessel, those who were wanting to be used of God, then God is the one who went to bat for them. And so this message cannot be blackballed. This message cannot be stopped. It's when we allow ourselves then to be overcome and overrun by the spirit that is at the root of that, that spirit of rejection, that spirit that seeks to ostracize, set apart, bring division, you know, discourage, to intimidate. That's the spirit behind anything like that, where you're feeling like you're left out, you're shut out, you're blackballed, you're ostracized. Anything like that, where you're feeling that way or your circumstances appear to be that way, that's not of God. And you got to know that. Now, what I want to say here, before I go forward and share the scripture with you, I don't want this to be misconstrued with a training time, a time when individuals are under the tutelage of someone else who has been given that place in their lives to help them to grow and to nurture them in the things of God. And that individual who is there to nurture and to build up and to pour in to our lives while we're growing and growing stronger and getting built up in the ministry that we've been called to, getting our legs under us, if you will, if that person is saying, you know, right now I don't think it's time for you to go forth. Let's pray about this more. Certainly they have to be able to show you areas where growth is needed so that you can pray about that and move forward. It's not just a matter of they don't think, you know, they don't think you should operate. But God should be able to reveal to them where you are when you're under their tutelage, and they should be able to openly share that with you so that you can grow. And so this is really in order in the things of God. And we find that Paul wrote to many, Timothy and others that he wrote to, and he referred to them as his sons because they were his sons in the gospel. And there were times when he told them, you know, that they needed to reflect on this, or when he came to bring admonition or exhortation or things like that to the church. We have to be open for that. But I'm saying that when others are doing things toward us in a hurtful way, we go back to God. We go back to God. We go back to the source. When it is a situation where there is a plot for the gospel to be hindered, that's different. That's different than when someone is working to help us to grow in the things of God, and they're keeping us really from those things that could be detrimental to our walk. We're not talking about that. So if you've entrusted yourself and you've come up under the tutelage of someone, then you certainly have to be subject to that authority, because God ordains authority. And I don't want you to think that is the same as being blackballed. But let's look at Acts 4 and 15. So hopefully we've made that line of demarcation, that distinction there, that we're not speaking of one who must come up under tutelage and be built up in the faith so that they are taught and they're ready to go forth to teach others, right? So when we look at Acts 4, we start somewhere around the 15th verse, we find that it says, "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men?'" Now, these were those who had pulled in the disciples, for preaching the gospel. "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely beat them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." What was the name that they were speaking in? They were speaking in the name of Jesus. They were sharing the name of Jesus. Others were being healed, and it was through the name of Jesus. And so there was a threat there that others would pick up on the ministry, see that there was power in the name of Jesus, and that, of course, then those who were having an allegiance to other than Christ would come after Christ. And so you find those who are saying, listen, we don't want this to happen. We don't want them to follow after these guys, but we want to shut them up. You know, we want to make sure that they no longer in this name. So what are we going to do? We're going to make sure that they understand that we no longer want them speaking in this name, and we're going to beat them severely. So what they did was they called them and they commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. What would you do? Somebody's called you in, commanded you not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. This is what they did. Determined to beat them. "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we have heard.'" You see, when we're told to shut our mouths because of the cause of Christ, God is going to raise up a standard for us. So when I ask that question about, well, has your ministry been blackballed, I want us to think about more than keeping us from the stage, keeping us from the limelight, keeping us from the crowd. I'm speaking of those who want to shut you down because of the message that you bring. There's a difference. And so these men were threatened because of the message that they brought and the power that accompanied the message, because they saw that a miracle had been wrought in their midst. And so when we think about this, that's a little bit different than what we see happening today. I've not known, and I could certainly be wrong, that's why we want to have some conversation. I don't know of those who are blackballed because of the message that they bring, when it's a message full of power, you know, when it's a message where the Lord is being built up and souls are being delivered and set free, you know, then they're being shut down and being told not to bring this message again because of the message of Christ. But this is one where they saw an impotent man made whole, you know, and it was by the name of Jesus. They didn't deny it. They said, no, it's not because of us. It's because of the name of Jesus. So we find that in Acts 4. We went 15 through 19. And I'm sorry, we went 15 through 20, actually. And the end of that thing, even though they were beaten, was to say that we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we've heard. Oh, that God would bless us to once again, you know, raise up a standard where we are determined that we are going to preach this gospel. Look at Acts 5:38-42. Then we want to hear if some of you have something to share tonight. It says, and now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Gamaliel was speaking. He says, For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. See, when people try to shut you down, shut your ministry down, any of that, if it's really of God, they'll find themselves fighting against God. But I'm saying we need to check ourselves to make sure that that is our motive. That is our motivation, that we have such a love for this gospel, that the gospel is really like fire shut up in our bones, and we want to preach this word, that it's not about glamour, it's not about fame, it's not about numbers, it's not about people knowing our name. That's different. And then we feel like when we're not in the club, because, see, the church is not designed to be a social club, but some can use that terminology because they feel like they've been blackballed and shut out from the social club, the inner circle. And you've heard me talk again, talk before about those who feel that they're connected to Big Cookie. So when they feel like they've been excluded from the cookie jar where the Big Cookies are, then they feel as though they've been blackballed. So this is not what we're speaking of. We're speaking of people who were saying, you know what, this word carries with it power. And if we'll speak this word, if we'll glorify God, he's going to back us up. He's going to confirm his word with signs following. He's going to do that. Now, Gamaliel had warned them against bothering the apostles, but even though they agreed with him, it says that they agreed with him in verse 40, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, so they still beat them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council. What did they do? They rejoiced. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the Lord's name. And you'll find out what they did later. It says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they didn't cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So it didn't put a stop. you know, even though others sought to blackball them and their message, if you will, was blackballed, and they were considered anything but those who were worthy of honor, even though they bore the name of Christ, they were ridiculed, they were beaten, they were chastised, they were locked out, they were ostracized, they were looked at as troublemakers. That's what it means to really be blackballed. But when we think about it, are we shut out? Are we ostracized for the cause of Christ? Is our ministry put on hold because of the fact that we are determined that we are going to preach this gospel no matter what? You know, no matter what. And just as they did, you know, ours is to rejoice that God has allowed us to be carriers of this great gospel. We've got to remember, the apostles didn't preach themselves. They preached Christ, you know, and this is the type of preaching that offended those in authority. It offended the priest. It offended those who were part of the council. Why? Because they preached Christ and him crucified. They preached that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man could get to the Father, no man could get to God, but to the Lord, through the Lord Jesus. Now, this is a gospel that has to be preached. But anymore, you may hear messages that are just inspirational or something to make you feel good. But at the end of the day, do you know how to get to God? Do you know that it means going through Christ to get to God, and that we won't take down for any other way? Because I will challenge you that you can go to various places of worship that name the name of Christ, but when you get down to it and you get to the nuts and bolts and say, okay, so is Jesus the only way to get to God? Is he really the only way? You'll find that many people will back off that. And I'm talking about those who name the name of Christ. I'm talking about those who say that they know the Lord, that they love the Lord. And, you know, I don't know if that's someone listening or what, but there's one way, right? We believe that Jesus is the way. And he is the truth, and he is the life. So if we believe that, then there's no room for anything else. But when we're confronted with that, that's going to bring opposition. That's going to bring people wanting to ostracize and push you aside when you come with that type of gospel. But that is the gospel. And the word of God has told us that if anybody, even an angel, come with another gospel, we don't accept that. We don't accept that. So Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said that. So it's not something that we made up, but it's certainly something that we have to carry forward. It has to be at the very crux of our belief system. We have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. And when we do that, that's going to cause us to be shut out of many circles. That's not going to cause you to be embraced, you know, by many, even those who name the name of Christ or who say that they are of a Christian faith. You understand that we're in a society now where there are many who call themselves Christians, but they do not believe that Jesus is the only way. I hope you do understand that. So the apostles didn't preach themselves. They preached Christ, and that got them in trouble because those around them wanted them to preach the message of the day. They wanted them to uphold the rulers of the day, you know, and to succumb to the authority of the land, but they were preaching a different kingdom. They were preaching the king who came from that kingdom. So that was the preaching that most offended those in authority that most offended the priest. And it is still the message that brings offense. And it is still the message that can cause you to be shut down in certain arenas. But understand this. When shut down in those arenas, we must move forward because it's our constant business, you know, as those who are ministers of the gospel. And I'm not talking about some paper that somebody gave you that says you're a minister. I'm talking about those who are born into the kingdom of God. We now become ministers of this gospel. We become ministers of reconciliation, and it is our business to preach Christ, to preach Christ and Him crucified, and not to take down. We want Him to be glorified. Nothing else but this will suffice. So when your ministry is blackballed in one place, what do? You do just what the apostles did. You go out and you find another avenue. That's what we do. You know, it says, okay, well, what do we do? What does the word say about that? It tells you, gives us examples. When they were shut down in one place, even to the extent of being beaten, they were found the next day, you know, preaching and teaching in homes, on the streets, whatever our station, our rank in our lives, we are always seeking to make Him known and to glorify His name. We get off track when we seek to glorify ourselves, and then when the blackballing comes, it's about us. We feel like we've been shut out. We feel like we've been shut down. And you know what? People can shut us down if it's about us. But when it's about this gospel cannot be stopped. So if we are intent on speaking in the name of Jesus and lifting Him up, God is going to always open a door for that to happen. You got to understand this. These men were not just threatened. They were commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. They were strictly commanded. We looked that they were strictly commanded in Acts 4 and 18. They were strictly commanded of that. But instead of attending to that, what they did was they went forward and they walked in the liberty wherewith the Lord had set them free. Those who were opposing the apostles didn't follow Gamaliel's counsel. They didn't do that because he advised them to keep their hands off of the apostles. He told them, look, if it's not of God, it's not going to come to anything. It's going to come to naught. But if it's of God, you got to be careful because you're going to find yourselves fighting against God Himself. So when they had been beaten, you know, and then think about this. They were going against that authority in the land, but there comes a time when we have to stand against that authority to uplift and build up the authority of the kingdom. And I know that God has told us to honor all authority, but they had to assert their authority in the kingdom over the word of man, because man was saying, I want you to not speak in this name. I want you to not promote this name. I want you to not build up this name. I don't want you out here bringing people to deliverance and healing. We want it to stop. Well, that's our whole mission. That's our whole mission. So when people really feel like they've been blackballed and shut out, that's why our first thing is know who you are. You got to go back to the source. We've got to check what's down on the inside of us. We have to make sure that our motive is to lift up the name of Jesus, because when we do that, we'll come back with a fierceness. We'll come back with a greater intent to preach this gospel. Anytime and anywhere that we're shut down, people seek to shut us down, God's going to make a way out. You watch and see if it doesn't happen. We're not talking about a rebellious spirit. We're talking about a spirit that is one of perseverance and tenacity, and one that is being fueled by, remember we're talking about fueling the fire, one that's being fueled by this word. Look at 2 Timothy 4. It talks about preaching the word. It says, 2 Timothy 4 and 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. And some of your translations say, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Why are we doing that? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And they'll turn away their ears from the truth, and they'll turn aside to myths and what they want to hear and fables and good stories. That's what they'll turn to. On any given day when there is a service going forth that is to be a worship service, you can find people gathering to hear stories and fables, myths, and things that tickle their ears and make them feel good, and they will gather around themselves great number of teachers that say what they want to hear. They'll be in those arenas because they want to suit their own desires, is what the scripture says. And so those who are preaching the gospel then seem narrow. You know, they seem narrow. It just doesn't sound right anymore, because now, you know, you're in a time when people are growing weary of the gospel. They're going to turn away from the truth, the word says, because their ears are itching and they don't want to listen to sound doctrine. They don't want to hear wholesome teaching. They don't want to hear that Jesus is the Christ. They want to hear that, listen, you guys got to be a little bit more broad. You can't be so narrow and so rigid as to just think Jesus is the way. You know, come on, why would you think people can only get to God through Jesus? So now we're at this time in the land where we live. So you can be blackballed when you want to stand firm on the word of God. Because remember, the word says Jesus is the way. Jesus said that. I'm the way, not a way. I'm the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And he put a lid on it. He said, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, why was that so relevant? Is because people claimed to know God. They claimed to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true and the living God. But he's saying, see, if you knew God, you would love me, you would honor me, but you don't know him, you've never seen him. Because if you did, you would accept me, but me you seek to kill. So how can you say you know God? You can't do it, because me you seek to destroy. So when we think about this, the message of Jesus, you know, and we think about whether or not our ministries have been blackballed. I mean, these are some ministries that were certainly blackballed. They were ostracized. They were put aside. They were told, don't come and preach here. But when you find that happening now, it's not generally about the gospel. It may be about something else and, you know, not about somebody preaching sound doctrine. So they're so determined to preach this sound doctrine that they're put out. But the scripture is reminding us that the time is coming. People are no longer going to listen to sound and wholesome teaching. That's the New Living Translation. They're not going to put up with sound doctrine. They're not going to do it. And we're seeing it happening now. They're going to follow their own desires. You want to preach what I want to hear? I'm going to find somebody who will. And I'm going to go and sit in the place that feels more like the club, a club where we are all included, where we can sit side by side, but we don't all have to agree that Jesus is the Christ. You can have your way, I can have my way, and we can all worship together. Don't you know that there are settings like that even now where people can come together and they can be under one roof, but they don't all hold to the same doctrinal teachings, but the doctrinal teaching is that you're free to believe what you believe, I'm free to believe what I believe, and we all just worship together. Well, Jesus came to make a difference. And if we are going to be effective in this earth as kingdom walkers, as those who are bringing the kingdom of God on the earth, we're going to have to say what the word says about Christ. We have to say what the word says about him. It's not about us. It's about him. The message is not about promoting ourselves, is it? It's not about you or me or what people think about us, but it's really about promoting this gospel. Have you ever heard a message and you come away and you go, okay, so what was that about? What was that about? You shouldn't come away with that, because the gospel is so plain that even children can grasp the truth, you know? And we don't have to give them fables. We don't have to give them fairy tales, but we can give them the plain truth of the gospel. You know, that there is one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. You know, we can tell them about this Jesus, and that it's only through Jesus, and he's the one you pray to, and break it down to the children. But when the adults become greedy for fables, when the adults take pleasure in being entertained, guess what happens? It happens to our children. They watch what we do. And so it's hard for them to endure preaching that's really just plain and down to earth and has a purpose. We find now that because of society, we've been set up. The church, in other words, has been set up such that we feel like we have to respond in a way that entertains, because now we're dealing with a generation who are used to being entertained. They're plugged in, they're turned on, they're constantly, you know, doing whatever they do electronically. Their attention span is very, very short. And the attention span of adults is no more than 20 minutes at a shot. And even in that 20 minutes, if you're not changing over, if you're not changing content every 5 minutes or so, you're losing people. So, and that's documented for those who teach or those who deal with adult learners. You know that you constantly have to be doing something and changing up so that they're getting the message. But what am I saying? I'm saying that even in all of this, we have to be so very careful that the message doesn't change. There's something about the wisdom in methodologies and being able to meet people where they are without necessarily changing the message, because the message must forever remain the same. We can't change the message to suit a certain generation. You know, when we love souls, we got to be watchful for souls, because the same consequence for the generation past is the consequence for this generation right now. The soul that sinneth, it must die. It will die. And so the only way to come to Christ is that we're born again. That doesn't change. That doesn't change because somebody desires to be plugged in or they want to hear an electric guitar, you know, as opposed to a banjo or whatever. I mean, the message still has to be the same. So we have to take every opportunity to make this gospel known. I'm talking about the unadulterated gospel. Okay, so we've talked a lot. I've talked a lot about adding fuel to the fire and about what we mean when we're talking about our ministry being blackballed, but I certainly would like to hear from some of our callers tonight if there's anyone who has comment to add or if you have any questions to add so that we can have some dialogue. Is there anyone who would add to our conversation on tonight with regard to this? You know, try to give some things that the Word has said about those type of circumstances. You know, it's not anything new. It's not anything unique where certain people have been shut out and shut down. And it does really happen in ministries. Because people will always have preferences. People will always have their preferences, and they will always have certain ones in what we call the circuit or on the circuit. It's because of the preferences of people. But our ministry can only be blackballed or stopped if we allow that to happen, because when we go back to the source, I truly believe that the Lord will open the doors for us. And so what are the signs of that? It's when people try to put their thumb on what it is that God is doing, when people are trying to steer us to do ministry their way as opposed to God's way, to say what they want said as opposed to what God is saying. Don't you know that God can speak to you? And so when you have others who are trying to dictate what you say, how you say it, then that is not encouraging you to be one who hears and follows the Spirit of the Lord. We want to be Spirit-led. So we don't want to have someone dictating how we speak or what we speak, but we want to be led of the Spirit of God. So let's stop for a moment and get a comment or a question tonight. God bless you. Do you have a comment or question tonight?
Praise the Lord, Sister Leslie. Good word tonight. I just really have wanted to get your thoughts. And one of the things that came to mind as I listened to the word on tonight was how a lot of people and a lot of churches have a different perspective other than what the gospel says in pertaining to homosexuality. And we know today that is one of the things that has changed in the recent years. And we know that, God speaks about he's very clear. The word of God is very clear when it talks about homosexuality. I was thinking of Leviticus when it says that you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. And I guess what I wanted to hear was maybe some thoughts on how we as people of God, if we are invited into an environment that has a different perspective on that particular topic that God is very clear about in Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank God for the comment and for the question. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this with regard to sin, period, because I do believe that when we're talking about sin, I see something that brings division in the church in that we've gotten away from speaking about sin, period, to wanting to put one thing above another. But I believe that if we make people understand that whatever it is in your life that opposes Christ, when you come to Him, He has promised to make all things new. He will cleanse us from the inside out. That goes for the liar, the cheat, the fornicator, everybody. God looks at sin as sin. And God wants us to love the sinner enough to bring them to Him so that He can do the work. Because sometimes what we see are the outward manifestations of what's going on in a person's life, but we don't know what's at the root of it. But God knows what's at the root of it. God knows how to go to the very depths of it. You know, if you've seen that one, that is just they'll lie maliciously even when they have no reason to lie. It's like, why are you lying? Why are you just a chronic liar? But we're dealing with what we're seeing on the surface and not getting to the root. And that's why I go back to always, our main objective is to bring men, women, boys, and girls to Christ and help them to know that we serve a God who will save, He will deliver, He will heal, He will set free whatever is at the root of our condition. And the root always goes back to sin. Whatever it is that's manifesting in our lives, it's because of our nature of sin. And so wherever you go, I appreciate her question, because wherever you go, whatever arena, they're going to be dealing with something in that arena, whether it is we don't speak the truth about this, but we'll speak about this because it keeps the light off of that and we'll shine it over here. But we've got to get back to preaching this gospel wherever we go. And it's that God wants to save men, women, boys, and girls from sin. And He still has the power to do it if we'll just bring them to Christ. If we'll just get them to Christ, I believe the enemy wants to keep us, in our little compartmentalized areas where this group fights against this and this group fights against that and this group fights against this, when all of the body is to make a stand against what takes all of us to hell, and that sin and our sinful nature, because our sinful nature is at enmity with God. It cannot do anything to please God. Our sinful man cannot do anything to please God, but it is in direct contradiction to the things of God. It will always oppose the things of God. And so you may not be going down one road, but I guarantee you, you have a struggle in another area. But whatever you're dealing with tonight, I want you to know that the Lord loves you and he can deliver and set us free. Whatever it is that keeps us from the throne of grace, he says, come, come to me. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, you'll find help there. You'll find grace in the time of need, in the time of trouble. We'll find it there. That's the message we want people to know, is that don't go out looking for it here and there and other places just because they're preaching the message you want to hear, you want to go and have your ears tickled. No, the gospel is still the gospel, and the Lord is saying, come. If you're thirsting, come. If you feel like you're alone and you've been rejected, come. There's a place for you at the cross. There's deliverance for you. When you're weary, God is there to give you rest. When you're hurting, God is there to build you up. You know, need deliverance? From whatever it is, God is there to be our deliverer. He's a strong deliverer. Hallelujah. Our God is a strong deliverer. So I appreciate that, because we can put all kinds of things in the context of a question like that, because so many, just depends on where you go, what arena they focus on certain things. But I want all across the spectrum for us to know tonight, our children in the streets, wherever they are, those who are victims of human sex trafficking and those who are in abusive situations and whatever the case may be, God is the answer. He has the way out tonight. He has the way out and he has the way up, and he's there for you. He's there to deliver and set you free. And there's no condemnation. Once you're in Christ Jesus, there's no more condemnation. Once the Lord has set you free, the scripture says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's the thing. That's the key. We've got to determine that we'll no longer walk after the flesh. And that's not only sexual sin, but we won't walk after the flesh, but we'll walk after the Spirit. Then there's no condemnation. Listen, God has great things in store for you. The bottom line tonight is, nobody can blackball your ministry. They may try, but if you determine that you're going to preach this gospel, that you're going to share this word, I guarantee you God is going to give you a platform day in and day out, and men can't stop it. They couldn't stop it then in the Bible days, and they can't stop it now. Those brothers turned the world upside down, and God's going to do no less with the remnant that he's left in the world today. God bless you. God, thank you for your great and precious people. We pray deliverance over these people, whether they're hearing tonight or in the months and days and years to come through archives. We pray that there will be a spirit of deliverance over this message, and that they'll know that you're a God who saves, delivers, and sets free. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is none else. He is the Lord of lords, and he is the King of kings. Come to him. He'll set you free. God bless you. Be with us again next Monday night for When Passion Meets Purpose, 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. Have a great evening.